Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Wednesday, the 16th of December, 2020. We are currently live on YouTube, Facebook, VK, and DLive. So if you don't happen to use YouTube or any of the sort of mainstream platforms, you can find us broadcasting to the alternative ones, which is something you might want to consider remembering in the next few days, because it looks like something big is going down. I'm joined by Callum, and I guess I would begin by recommending that you visit lotuseaters.com and checking out our content there. We've got a lot of premium content you can't find anywhere else. And if you want to make sure that we still have jobs and survive whatever is coming next, you can become a premium member there and support us. So, Callum, everyone is really nervous because something massive is clearly coming. And the evidence for this has been laid out quite extensively, it seems, for about a week now. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to lay everything out and we'll see what we can come to. So I guess we'll begin with Lynn Wood, a part of President Trump's legal team, and an absolute crusader on not just Parler, but when he's doing these sort of live speeches and various other parts of his activism. But he's been saying things like this. This is what he posted 3 days ago. Excuse me. American patriots, be prepared. Events will unfold quickly over the next several days. Listen only to President Trump. Biden is not our leader and never will be. He and his cronies are communist compromised. CCP attacked our country with a biological weapon. CCP attacked us again to steal the election. CCP wants our land to grow food. We shall never let them take it. Speak truth, be fearless, pray. With a graphic that says 1776 again. Now, I'm not endorsing or denying any of those claims. What I'm saying is those are big claims, really big claims. The one thing we can say, though, is that Joe Biden is absolutely communist compromised. He's definitely been taking money from the CCP, as well as various other places, like Russia and Ukraine. But that's not the subject of what we're talking about now. We've covered that in previous podcasts, so you guys can go back and check those out. But we did a segment called China Owns Biden, Joe Biden. And that's true.
It was from their perspective. They said they own Biden.
Yes. From the Chinese Communist Party say that they own Biden. They have friends in the American establishment. And now that Biden's back, the establishment's back. And literally, they couldn't fix Trump. So this is why I think something really massive is coming along. So that was 3 days ago. And then 9 hours ago, Linwood, when I'd taken the screenshot, so probably about 12 hours ago now, Linwood had posted this to Parler. And again, these are being very well seen. Like the first one had 1.5 million views. This one's had 650,000 views. America has been asleep at the switch. Communism has quietly slipped into our government, our businesses, and our communities. They seek to control us and wish for the fate of suffering seen in the populations of all countries who are oppressed by communism. It's time to wake up. Along with this graphic, give me liberty or give me death by Patrick Henry, on March 23rd, 1775.
How big is this guy in the Trump campaign? Because it seems a very, very American boomer for someone like me.
Oh, he's huge. I mean, you can see by the numbers
he speaks at the rallies?
He speaks at the rallies, but he's part of the Trump legal team. And he's been the one from, I think it was Arizona or Nevada, who's been pushing this very, very hard. And his rhetoric has been fiery, like, to say the least, as you can see.
But yeah, just from these two, I'm getting a little bit of Alex Jones, but
kind
of rhetoric.
Yeah, the level of rhetoric is very much Alex Jones' level of rhetoric. And his Parler feed is just consistently like this. I'm sure his Twitter feed is as well. It's making me nervous. I'm not going to lie, right? And yesterday, Dan Scavino, the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, posted this to his Facebook page. We're going to scroll down a little bit. You can see it's, as he describes, a historic moment in the Oval Office. We'll share what it was one of these days when I can. I don't know what's happening, obviously, because
you identify anyone there.
I can't identify him. The picture's a bit too small. But it looks like this is some very important meeting that he's talking about.
I can see. I'm guessing that's Pence with the grey hair and Trump in the chair.
Yeah. Yeah, Trump behind the desk, obviously. So something massive looks like it's happening. And it's not just from Trump insiders who are part of the Trump team or part of his legal team who are making really staggering claims or saying, look, something big's coming. There are maneuvers that I think we can see that are essentially kind of pieces falling into place. And I'm becoming very, suspicious that we're going to see something huge, as Linwood suggested. So the first one was the segment you covered, was it yesterday or the day before, about how the Chinese Communist Party had been doxxed and 2 million of their party members were released. And so we could see where in the world they were and where they were working. And as you saw, this data leak was obtained by the Australian newspaper, because obviously Australia is very close to China and is very concerned about China. But
the leaker sent it to them.
The leaker sent it to them expressly, yes. And so this shows that it's world's biggest corporations in Google, YouTube, and various other pharmaceutical giants, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, financial institutions like HSBC, and apparently in government office, government institutions as well, that Chinese Communist Party members, not independent actors when they go outside of China. They're not independent actors within China. Even if they don't believe in the ethic of the Chinese Communist Party, they're still bound by it, whether they like it or not. So anyway, the next thing after this is Trump withdrawing. That's again just more articles about how the CCP members are one of them has been a software engineer in YouTube since 2014. And things like this. So it's like, right. So these,
just to clarify, I don't believe they confirmed his membership, but he worked in congruent with the People's Liberation Army, getting approval from them. Also the State Security Bureau and the Public Security Bureau. So it's like, okay, if you can get that done, there's no way you're not involved with these folks.
Yeah, they're just no way. And so the next thing is Trump making very interesting moves, like withdrawing support from the CIA. The Department of Defense is removing their military assistance from CIA's counterterror operations. Weird maneuver, and I don't know whether it's anything to do with anything that's happening here, but this is a very strange thing to do.
Why would that coming?
Yeah, exactly. Why would Trump be trying to isolate, militarily and politically, the CIA? I mean, that's if you believe any conspiracy theories about, say, I don't know, JFK in the past, messing with the CIA is generally considered to be a dangerous occupation. So I don't know what it means, but it's something that has happened, as CNN have reported here, and I think it's something that people should be aware of. The next momentous thing that happened that I think is worthy of note and may well be connected to a broader pattern of events here was the fact that Google went down, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, for 45 minutes or so. YouTube, Gmail, and Google Drive all down, and no explanation from Google. Now, that's really quite surprising. YouTube, the second largest search engine in the world, it is the largest video hosting site, and Gmail, a massive email site, all down. No explanation. Don't know why. Just came back up, and everyone just carried on as normal.
As in, they haven't published an explanation?
Not to my knowledge. If anyone's seen an explanation from Google, do let us know, because I couldn't find one. So again, lots of questions surrounding it, very little in the way of explanation, but if we're talking about historic events and momentous things happening, that seems to be tying into what's happening. The next one is CNN reporting on how a company and a program a program called SolarWinds was hacked 3 days ago. Now, the US Commerce Department, I'm just going to read what they've written because I'm no expert on this at all, right? The U.S. Commerce Department confirmed on Sunday that it had been the victim of a data breach and an attack that is believed to have been linked to Russia. We can confirm there's a breach in one of our bureaus, they said, CNN. We have asked CISA, I'm not actually sure who that's, some alphabet bureau, CISA and the FBI to investigate, and we cannot comment further at this time. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. So these are the people who deal with this. They said, we've been working closely with our agency partners and recently discovered activity on the government networks. CISA is providing technical assistance to affected entities as they work to identify and mitigate any potential compromises. Reuters first reported on this. CISA issued a directive late Sunday that tech company SolarWinds was compromised and posed, quote, unacceptable risks to the security of federal networks, says the acting director of CISA, Brandon Wales. Now, SolarWinds is important because we will come back to this later, but CNN say SolarWinds Orion products are used by a number of federal civilian agencies for network management, and CISA is urging the agencies review their networks for any possible signs of a data breach. This is only the fifth emergency directive issued since 2015, when CISA was created. SolarWinds said in a statement last night that the breach of their system was likely conducted by an outside nation state and intended to be a narrow, extremely targeted, and manually executed attack, as opposed to a broad system-wide attack. As in, it's someone who knew what they were trying to get and went in and got it. Deeply, deeply concerning. And I, like I said, I don't know anything about solar winds other than something we'll come into in a little bit. But put a pin in that, we're going to come back to it. And so now, apparently today, there has been a Pentagon internal network shutdown, according to justthenews.com. Again, I can't really confirm or deny any of these things because events are moving so quickly and there's, you know, the fog of war is so present across the battlefield. It's hard to know what we can actually rely on. But I've used Just the News before, so I'll use them again. And the Pentagon on Tuesday ordered an emergency shutdown of a classified internal communications network. Three Defense Department sources have confirmed. The unprecedented daytime shutdown comes amid recent revelations that other federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, were breached by hackers. This has never happened during the middle of the day, one official said. Updates are usually done on weekends or after hours late at night. This was done on an emergency basis. So it looks like there's some kind of cyber warfare going on. Major data breaches of the US federal government using software run by this SolarWinds company that we definitely have concerns over. And so the next thing that makes me think, wow, something really massive is coming, is the resignation of the Attorney General, Bill Barr. Like, Bill Barr's been pretty solid, all things considered, right up until recently where he said, well, we haven't seen any proof of widespread election hacking and that's all we're going to say on this, which obviously didn't reinforce Trump's narrative on the thing and drove Trump supporters kind of apoplectic, frankly, at Bill Barr, saying, well, come on, look at all this evidence. Bill Barr's like, well, there's no evidence. And so I'm surprised that this is... surprised is not the right word. But what was very interesting is Barr's letter to Trump that is weird. It's unfettered praise of Trump. It says that, Mr. President, I appreciate the opportunity to update you on this, you know, review of fraud allegations, blah, blah, blah. I'm greatly honored that you called upon me to serve in your administration and the American people once again as Attorney General. I'm proud to have played a role in all of your successes. Few could have weathered these attacks like you did, much less forge ahead with a positive program for the country. You built the strongest and most resilient economy in American history. You know, during your administration, the Department of Justice has worked tirelessly to protect the American public from violent crime. And all this sort of stuff. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is his letter of resignation? Like, oh, President Trump, aren't you amazing? Also, I'm resigning because why? Because something big's coming, that's why. And he's nervous. Like, do you want to be the Attorney General who has to preside over, like, and we'll get into what Sidney Powell's view on the executive order from 2018 is in a minute, because
Is it that suspicious, though? Because usually when a member of, a minister or something resigns, it's usually filled with praise. I mean, this is a bit much.
Well, it's very over the top, right? It's very over the top. At least it seems that way to me. And it seems that way to the leftist media outlets who were reporting on this. They're furious. They're like, oh, how could he be like this? Oh, Trump's this, Trump's that. Bill Barr's this. How dare he? His entire career has been a catastrophe, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, right, okay, yeah, just, you know, was it memorio damnatio or something, you know, damning his memory. Wish I'd done Latin. But what's very interesting is how the media have changed their tone on Hunter Biden. This is a graphic that's going around, and these are legitimate headlines, as you can see. The New York Times, Trump said to be warned that Giuliani was conveying Russian disinformation before the election. Then after the election, the investigation of his son is likely to hang over Biden as he takes into office. Washington Post, the truth behind the Hunter Biden non-scandal. And then afterwards, Hunter Biden tax probe examining Chinese business dealings. Oh, really? That seems to be a massive concern, does it not? Hunter Biden's story from Politico is Russian disinformation, dozens of former intelligence officials say. And then after the election, Justice Department's interest in Hunter Biden covered more than taxes. Federal prosecutors have also investigated his foreign ties, possible money laundering. Yeah, so it's looking bad.
Before the election, it's disinformation, trust us, we're the mainstream media.
Yep.
Afterwards, actually, this is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And there's, I did see one poll on this, which they were asking voters, you know, did you know about the story and would it affect your vote? This is afterwards, so would it have affected your vote if you did know? I think, what was it, like 12% had heard of it or something like that?
Yeah.
And then 10% of them said if they did know, they would have changed their vote.
Yeah.
So this stuff does have an impact, and it's reasonable for Trump to be upset about this.
Yeah. And so what we know so far is that, and this is all stuff that we can guarantee, it's that Joe Biden is compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. We have the records from Hunter Biden and his emails. We have statements from the Chinese Communist Party members to the effect, people who would know within the Chinese Communist Party. We have Joe Biden saying China isn't going to eat our lunch, blah, blah, blah. We have evidence that Chinese Communist Party members are occupying positions of influence and power across the Western world in various private and non-private companies and organizations. We have all of these weird maneuvers. We have massive data hacks from the US government. And we have the Trump administration talking about how this is a historic thing that is going on at the moment. So I can't say exactly what is coming, but something big is clearly happening here.
I don't know. I'm not suspicious at all of that message from the guy who works in the Trump campaign, because they always say something historic is coming whenever they do anything. You remember when everyone thought sure. He was going to pardon Julian Assange, and then he pardoned some feminist.
Emily Pankhurst or something.
Sure. I'm going to be a little bit critical. It seems like you're connecting things. What's the narrative that you think is going on there?
Well, we'll get to that in the next segment, I guess. But I think it's clear that there is something big going on. I mean, like Bloomberg, when talking about Bill Barr, they were like, well, what spooked him? You know, they were just speculating while condemning his memory. They didn't know what he had done, what had happened, and they didn't know what was happening.
Did he not just upset Trump, and then Trump was like, you need to resign?
Maybe.
But no one seems to think that's what's happened.
That's not what they said. And I can't really find anything that gives us a concrete hold on things. And with Barr's like weird praise and non-message, you know, there's no meat to what Barr had said there. He's just like, you know, you've done a great job. I'm resigning. It's like, okay, why are you resigning? But I mean, maybe it's entirely possible that I'm reading far too much into any of this. But these things I think are very suspicious. And I guess we'll go into the next bit, because the question really is Dominion voting systems owned by China? This is an allegation that was made by a Newsmax White House correspondent called Emerald Robinson. She had said, Dominion Voting Systems has Smartmatics for its software. Dominion Voting Systems has SolarWinds for its monitoring system. Dominion Voting Systems has modems connected to the internet. Dominion Voting Systems is owned by China, so America's national security is a joke. Now,
that's the SolarWinds being the organization that had the hack, what was it, a couple of days ago?
That was hacked 3 days ago, yes. By, as they said, a non-native governmental entity that had a specific and targeted hack directly into a system, not a widespread attack. So it's not just someone just randomly looking, it seems to be purposeful. So what she said here that we can confirm, I guess we'll go through. So the first thing I'll start with is the fact that Dominion seems to have had SolarWinds for its monitoring system, if we can go to the next one, and it seems to have scrubbed it. So this is Dominion's voting login website now. As you can see, there's nothing else on there. But if we look at it just 2 days ago, you can see at the bottom, they've scrubbed the bit where it's, this is from a Wayback Machine, they've scrubbed it where it says powered by SolarWinds at the bottom. And it's like,
all of a sudden, it's not powered by SolarWinds.
Yeah, all of a sudden, or they've just removed it because they don't want the internet finding it. They don't want all of this evidence.
Okay,
right?
So the story broke that they've been hacked, and then all of a sudden they get rid of it.
Yes, that's exactly it. The story breaks that they're hacked, and then that's scrubbed. Hmm. Weird. Really weird, right?
To be charitable, they could have gotten rid of it because they now know it's hacked.
Totally. It could well be. Dominion have obviously categorically denied everything that they're accused of. Everything, absolutely everything. They've just not given any of it any consideration.
Have they issued a statement on this, or are they keeping quiet?
I believe that they did, but it was just a denial.
What, denial they ever used SolarWinds, or?
A denial that there's any problem, basically.
Well, why'd you delete it then?
I'll have to find it. But like,
yeah, but it's the point of like, well, there's no problems going on, but yeah, why did you get rid of SolarWinds?
Exactly. We want to know, you know, that we need to know. And I think it's important to know. But the question is, the first one, it seems that it did use SolarWinds as a monitoring system. I mean, that seems to be what the connection is. That's what SolarWinds is this sort of transmission network. So it seems that Dominion has been using that. And then, so the first claim, Dominion has Smartmatics for its software. That's true. This is Sequoia software that was initially developed in California. That in 2005, it was acquired by Smartmatic. And then on June the 4th, 2010, Dominion Voting Systems, a Canadian company engaged in manufacturing electronic voting hardware and optical scanners, acquired all physical and intellectual assets of Sequoia Voting Systems, as well as retained technical and sales staff. So not only do they have all of the physical property, they have the intellectual property, they have the staff who made it. They have it all, right? And so this was purchased by Dominion in 2010. Sorry, I've just skipped myself suddenly.
Sorry, who was purchased?
Sequoia. Sequoia. So Sequoia Voting Technologies, just or whatever it's called. Yeah, this was what was purchased by Smartmatic. And then we go to the affidavit that was procured by Rudy Giuliani and presented in his suit, where he spoke to apparently the source was a top-level Hugo Chavez insider who claims to... We did all of this.
Is this the former bodyguard?
Yes. The personal witness to the development and operation of the software. He says, I was witness to the creation and operation of a sophisticated electronic voting system that permitted the leaders of the Venezuelan government to manipulate the tabulation of votes for national and local elections and whatever of these elections to gain and maintain their power. So he claims he witnessed Smartmatic being created in conjunction and collusion with the regime. Smartmatic was used to change their constitution. He had hands-on experience of using it, had repeated meetings with Chavez. Chavez wanted Smartmatic to build the election manipulation system so he wouldn't lose another election, and he didn't. A witness has details on how it works, etc., right? So that's all true. We know that Smartmatic was created in Venezuela. Again, you can find this on the Wikipedia page. None of this is a secret. We know that Sequoia was acquired by Smartmatic, and then it was sold to Dominion. And so it was acquired by Smartmatic in 2005, sold to Dominion, and the affidavit, the witness, claims that it is Smartmatic software is in the DNA of every vote tabulating technology. Presumably they took that from Sequoia, did whatever they wanted to it, and then have passed that on to Dominion. So the question is, who owns Dominion? Because it's called what? It's a Canadian company. It's like, okay, well, that's weird. You'd have a foreign company that owns your voting tabulating software.
I mean, they would argue they're, like, you know, American-Canadian, but...
Maybe they would.
Why is your headquarters in Toronto?
Maybe they would, but A, why is the headquarters in Toronto? But B, why don't we actually know who owns Dominion? Because this is a 2019 NBC News piece. Again, before all of this came out, before all of this was a problem, you know, over a year ago, this was published by NBC News. So not a partisan right-wing source, you know, not something that's been thrown up in the wake of this new scandal since the election.
A partisan left-wing source.
It's a partisan left-wing source, and in a period of calm and peace where there was no great focus on this. They say, Chinese parts hidden ownership growing scrutiny inside America's biggest maker of voting machines. Doesn't exactly put your mind at ease the title. But they say the issue took on greater urgency after the FBI disclosed in July 2018 that a Russian oligarch had invested in the Maryland Services election firm. Officials in Maryland and North Carolina have started questioning voting machine makers about potential foreign ownership. Because it is privately owned, ESNS, which is the company above them, I think, is not legally obliged to reveal its ownership or any other details about its finances, although the spokesman did confirm that the company generated about $100 million in sales last year. Their bylaws prevented them from revealing other individual investors, but affirmed that they are all U.S. citizens or trusts or corporations owned by Americans.
Well, you might not be legally obliged, but if you don't, you get nationalized.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll just take your word for it then. If you just say that that's the case, I guess there's nothing further to look at. But
this why when, you know, Facebook gets trialed in front of the US Congress, they say, yeah, can you call this? They're being nice. If you don't do it, we're going to make you do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they have subpoena power. They could force all of this. And honestly, I think they probably will. So we don't know who owns Dominion. NBC couldn't find out. They won't tell us. We're just supposed to take their word for it. But we do know that Dominion received, as we reported on the Loadseaters.com and did a segment about a while ago, that Dominion received $400 million from a China-linked or CCP-linked Swiss bank account. This was the US Securities and Exchange Commission filed a report stating that Dominion Voting Systems received this payment, and that the payment was made to Staple Street Capital, a middle marketing equity firm, and it goes through various layers of companies because that's how they do these things, probably in a deliberate attempt to obscure where the actual money is coming from. The payment was made by UBS Securities, or a subsidiary company of the Swiss investment bank UBS. Despite UBS Securities being a New York-based company, three of the four board members are Chinese. One of the board members has worked for the Chinese Communist Party Central Bank and the entirely government-owned Bank of China. So it's like, right, people who are high ups.
The board members for UBS are Chinese.
Yes. And if we scroll down to the bottom of the article, you find that 12 of 15 UBS board of directors have resigned as December the 6th.
So those who are left, three of them are Chinese?
Those who are left, I don't know, but why would 12 of 15 of their board members just suddenly resign? Because something's big coming, and they know something's big coming, and they want to bug out. That's why. That's the realistic explanation, in my opinion. And I think that this is because of a recent Antrim County forensic audit of a Dominion software machine that came up rather bad. Now, I just want to be very, very clear, as Viva Fry pointed out on his stream the other day. This was part of a lawsuit against Antrim County and the Dominion voting machines that has been produced. This forensic examination has been produced by someone on behalf of the people leveling the lawsuit. So you wouldn't expect it to go against their narrative, right? But that's not to say that it's false, but that is to say that it probably wouldn't have seen the light of day, as Viva Fry said, if this had gone against them. And I think that his assessment here is correct. You know, these things are essentially partisan for one side of the argument. Again, that's
keep it in mind.
That's not to say that it's false, but I think that when I'm going to read out their conclusion, YouTube, this is not an endorsement of this conclusion. I don't know either way. We're not suggesting that it's correct or not. But what I think that it will show you is that it is a partisan effort. And like I said, that doesn't mean it's wrong or right. This is just the conclusion they came to. So the preliminary report was by Russell Ramsland Jr., a very credentialed man with numerous degrees and a master's degree in I don't know, business or something, who'd worked within the US government and worked for the government on various advisory panels and stuff like this. So he's not just some rando off the street. He's someone who has, you know, been invested in this for a while now. And he, in a report drawn up in a Michigan lawsuit that the judge allowed the forensic examination of the machine, there have been other reports that the judge ordered it, which would imply that the judge was employing this guy to do it for him, and therefore the guy was answerable to the judge rather than the plaintiff, who would be thing. That's wrong. It's the judge allowed him to do this. But again, that's not to say that it's wrong. The conclusion. We conclude that the Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results. The system intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot errors. The electronic ballots are then transferred for adjudication. The intentional errors lead to the bulk adjudication of ballots with no oversight, no transparency, and no audit trail. This leads to voter or election fraud. Based on our study, we conclude that the Dominion voter system should not be used in Michigan, and the results of Antrim County should not been certified. Now, they shouldn't be pushing a partisan position there, right? Like you don't need to put, we conclude the results of Antrim County shouldn't have been certified, or the Dominion voting system should not have been used. And the constant use of things like intentional, like the use of the word intentional, it's not inappropriate, but it puts a partisan sheen on this statement. Now, like I said, I can't confirm or deny whether this is correct. This is just what they found, because what they did is ran batches of ballots through the machine, and every time they have the tabulation in the report, and you can see just the number of votes overall going down, but especially for Trump, right? So at the end of it, it starts with something like 22,000 votes, ends up with 16,000 votes, but Trump ends up with 5,000 votes, whereas before he was, you know, had the lion's share on like 15,000 or something like this. So they're saying that they have used the software and they have watched it tabulate from Biden to Trump. Whether they have or not, I can't confirm or deny, But this is, I think, we covered the other day what are Trump's options, and we went over Powell's lawsuit, but at the time, I didn't have all of this context that is surrounding what is happening to really understand what she was saying. But I think now we actually do have quite a lot of context. So when she was saying Trump could trigger an executive order on foreign election interference, saying the evidence for foreign election interference is more than sufficient, maybe it is. You know, I don't know what else they have, but there's a lot that suggests, well, Dominion might well be compromised. Joe Biden is certainly compromised. There are a lot of suspicions here. And the executive order she's referring to is an executive order that was issued on the 12th of September 2018 that's called, I expected it to have a number, because you'd think it'd be an Execute Order 66, you know. You think you expect it to have some cool thing, but no. It's called Executive Order on Imposing Certain Sanctions in the Event of Foreign Interference in the United States Election. I don't doubt that the left would have lobbied for this in light of them claiming that Russia had influenced the elections. So you may be getting what you deserve here. I didn't check this, but it wouldn't surprise me at all.
No.
But the important part is, it says, not later than 45 days after the conclusion of a US election, the Director of National Intelligence, in consultation with the heads of many other appropriate executive departments and agencies, shall conduct an assessment of any information indicating that a foreign government or any person acting as agent or on behalf of a foreign government has acted with the intent or purpose of interfering in that election. The assessment shall identify to the maximum extent ascertainable the nature of any foreign interference and any methods employed to execute it, the persons involved, and foreign government or governments that have authorized, directed, sponsored, or supported it. All property and interests in that property that are in the United States, that hereafter come within the United States, or are or hereafter come within the possession or control of any United States person, which is a U.S. citizen, or of the following persons are blocked, may not be transferred, paid, exported, withdrawn, or otherwise dealt in. Basically, seizing everything that anyone they think is implicated in any of this owns. That means if Sidney Powell's narrative that China, that Venezuela create or adapt a voting software that is designed to flip votes from one candidate to another, that is bought by Dominion, and Dominion is then either bought or paid off by China, then that, I mean, and this, what we have now, what we've covered today, I think is enough for Sidney Powell. I can't say whether it's true or false, but this is
her argument.
She's this is her argument. This is her narrative. These are the points that she will connect together and say, well, there we go. That's how we know that this has been stolen by a foreign government. And that means that Trump would use this executive order, again, all lawfully, as far as I can tell, to not only impound all of the materials and all of the money and
but
all
also to seize every asset of a member of Dominion,
but also criminal charges against the people involved. And there will be, you keep hearing, especially on Parler, from the sort of, you know, the boomer partisans, about how all there are going to be all these criminal charges, all of these people are going to jail, and it's like, well, I wouldn't rule it out, you know, maybe they will, I don't know. You know,
who is Sidney Powell? She's not working on the Trump legal team anymore.
She is a lawyer in her own capacity that is acting.
So she's just arguing
very, very closely.
If this is
Trump
the case, and I think it is, then Trump can do this, and it's all lawful.
Yeah, according to his own executive order. Yeah, and this is why there have been lots of I guess we'll just call them right leaning content creators recently who are tied in the know. And have, like, you know, through the grapevine connections with various other places. And I've heard rumors to this effect myself, but basically a lot of people are saying, look, make backup plans, because on Friday we're expecting the grapevine is expecting things to happen. And if that's the case, because, I mean, who knows if, like, Google and Facebook are implicated? Who knows YouTube, whatnot? And so they are expecting, frankly, mass deplatformings on Friday or thereabouts of anyone right-leaning who talks about politics, for whatever reason. I don't know why.
And this would be suggested by the fact that YouTube recently came out and said, if you're spreading disinformation, you will be video deleted.
The increased cranking up of their editorial policies.
And they're saying by January we'll start giving you strikes.
Yeah.
So I don't see why it would be unexpected or, you know, a surprise if they just came out and said, actually, we're just going to delete everyone's channel who says this.
And they could probably take the hit. You know, they could probably take it.
It would be legal. They're a private company.
And it would be totally legal.
But it would be
obvious
monumental. Partisan act.
Extremely. And so this is why in the description to this video, you'll probably find our Rumble, BitChute, Parler, you know, all of mines, all of the alt tech that we're on, even if you don't use it on a regular basis yet, I would probably take the time, 5 minutes, to go and set up an account on one of them that you prefer and just follow us there. Or alternatively, you can go to loadseater.com and sign up and become a member, and you'll have access to all of our content on YouTube and off YouTube. And we've actually been recording a few podcasts that we're going to have to put off of YouTube because of their particularly censorious practices regarding the sensitive topics that we're discussing. So you'll definitely want to be following us on the alt media platforms, because they're the only places that we can put the, I guess we'll call them the spicy podcasts when discussing.
Like, usually you make, you know, exclusive stuff for someone because of a deal. Like, you know, they're paying you to make an exclusive thing for
which is
platform.
What we actually do on loadseaser.com.
So. But that's, yeah, we're sponsoring ourselves. But it's the thing of, like, we just do it because YouTube censors us. Like, that's it.
Yeah, we didn't want this content to be private content. You know, like, with the book club and stuff, you know, it's membership only, so that's fine.
Yeah, this one's going to be available to anyone who's a non-paying member. But we have to do it just because YouTube is that censorious.
Yeah, and the worst part is, it's one of the better podcasts we've recorded, too. We recorded it this morning. It was a really good podcast. Really good information in there we think you'll want to have. So, yes, basically, follow us all on alternative media platforms. Go and sign up to the website, because we are going to take a hit. There is something. If it's not my personal YouTube channels with, you know, 900,000 followers, 400,000 followers, they're probably definitely gone.
They're already shadow banned. Like, we have evidence for that.
Yeah, well, the main channel is shadow banned. My other ones aren't shadow banned, or at least, you know, the account daily one isn't shadow banned. But I think they're going to go. So, you know, follow me, follow us on BitChute, Parler, Mines, all of the others, because I think there may be no other choice. And I'm not going to lie, I'm really nervous. And thanks for your support, because this means at least we can keep the office and the staff running for now. But please do, you know, back us on there if you'd like to support us. But anyway, do you want to do some super chats? Because my voice is about to give out.
Yeah, I bet it is. Where did we leave off? Because I think we got a couple yesterday that we didn't have time to.
Just go for the December 16th one.
No, there's the, I don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
So, have you looked into the Three Gorges Dam? It, after a short period of time, has already deformed beyond state parameters. Safe parameters. If it breaks down, which it will leave to over 1 billion people dead. China is effed.
I have heard about this, although I've never taken the time to look into it. So.
Yeah, me neither, but that's terrible if it's what's happening. Yes. Birashi, Trump 2021, dictator Perpetuo, who will be Augustus? A Roman reference for you.
Dictator for life.
No, but the Augustus part. Is
yeah, well, Augustus was also dictator for life. Caesar sets himself up as dictator for life, and Augustus is like his nephew. And Caesar stabbed, Augustus fights a civil war with Mark Antony and wins.
Because, like, the Romans called him Caesar as well, and historians just call him Augustus. Cause,
well, he inherits the Caesar name, that's the thing. And that's how the name Caesar means emperor.
Yeah, but anyway. So, Kaiser.
Yep.
Interior decorator for 5-ish euros, 550. Yeah. Thank you very much. Then we get to today's. So, just for people. Alex Alexandru, this may be a little long, but we have a recitation.
A recitation of Mark Antony's eulogy to Caesar. I think it would be proper in lieu of recent events. I'll have to read it. I don't think I've ever actually read Mark Antony's eulogy to Caesar.
Although it's a recitation.
A speech, a recital.
Oh, okay. You're going to give one, are you? Just talking about Trump, just replace the words.
Maybe. I've read quotes of it. Mark Antony's eulogy to Caesar was, I mean, kind of like Bill Barr, actually.
You're the greatest man that's ever...
Yeah, basically. It was glowing, if I recall correctly.
Dima, this sounds... Can't say that word, but Carl's diet has convinced me to quit smoking. You can't say your content hasn't have a positive impact on people's life. Also, I am... I'm still can't say it.
apparently the G word is off limits now.
Yeah. No, I don't trust that it's not, so I'm not.
Yeah, but thank you. I appreciate the compliment and the fact that it's motivated you to do something.
Adam Morgan, congrats on your UO Golden Standard Award, Carl.
Well, thank you very much. I won Best Normie Content Creator. I beat Tim Pool and the BBC.
Who is this?
On Unpopular Opinions.
Oh, okay. AA.
Yeah. Academic
agent.
Yeah, I was very honoured, very flattered.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to beat Tim Pool, because frankly, I think he's better than I am. I think he does a lot more work than I do, so.
Yeah. Metavirus. Sargon, you are the man. Oh, with some hand figures.
Just yeah.
Melchador Sigilite. Trump feels like a messianic figure Is that me, or does it seem that there are similarities to Jesus?
I don't want to compare Trump to Jesus. I think he's a lot more similar to Caesar.
I think Trump actually gave a speech saying he didn't want to compare himself to Jesus either a while back.
No.
But, someone more popular than me, Jesus Christ.
But, but he is a heroic figure. Trump didn't have to do half of the stuff that he did. Like addressing critical race theory, stuff like that, that didn't have to happen. But he did it.
I'm not your buddy guy. Dark times lie ahead of us, and there will be a time when we must choose between what is easy and what is right. Evil wins when good men do nothing.
Totally endorse.
Empire 2.0, congratulations on your Gold Standard Award. All hail the God Emperor Sargon. Honest Joe Biden. You should start, you should start calling him that.
Yeah, you should.
tried this one time before. Can't afford to record an album. If you cover the cost, will be the modern pistols and break the whole bloody system. And then a link to, I assume the guys.
John, could you get that link up in a browser and then, or pass it across to me on Discord or something? And I'll post this on Parler, Honest Joe. I'll post it on Parler.
I look forward to Honest Joe Biden's content.
You sent us $20, man. It's the least I can do. Thank you.
Thank you. Possible pilot deviation. Callum, you cleaned up nicely today in your big boy shirt. Well done. Although it kind of matches the style of Carl's shirt.
I told him that. He came back from, Marks and Spencer's with it. I'm like, why did you buy the same shirt?
Because there's only one pile of shirts. Well,
that's true, though.
Well, they're bloody expensive. Not enjoying the price. Prefer Primark. $160.
Look at the sacrifice Callum has made for you guys.
Yeah, someone commented in the chat. He looks annoyed. And I'm like, yeah, I am. the engaged few. Wood is nuttier than a 50-pound bag of squirrel feces, and a fraud who raised funds for Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't care about that. Then left his mum asking for an accountant. I don't know his history, but if he raised funds for Kyle Rittenhouse, I care.
I'm not saying he's not nutty as well. He definitely is from his parlor feed. But I'm also not saying that there's nothing here. It looks like there's something big coming. And you know what? I could be completely wrong. It could be that everyone has got themselves really paranoid and nothing happens. And we don't get deplatformed. There isn't a big series of arrests or anything like this. Nothing could happen. Like I said,
I'm not completely convinced, but I can see why you're thinking this.
Yeah, I think it's prudent to at least inform people that, look, something huge could happen really quickly. And I don't think the media is going to give you any kind of information, especially not in the way that we've presented a lot of things that may well be disparate, but also may have a common cause.
Michael Alvarez, Monkey Works, a military guy documenting military movements, claims from sources that Special Forces connections will lock down the country for 10 days. I'm very suspicious of claims like this. Well, they get made every week.
I don't know if they get made every week.
Yeah,
actually.
They do. I remember during the first lockdown, everyone was saying the military is coming in this week and that'll be something else next week. So I'm very suspicious.
Right, okay.
Mute stream. Hey, lovely cast of TLEP. Don't know what that means.
The Lotus Eaters podcast.
Oh, I don't even know our own acronym. Well, we don't use an acronym, do we?
No. Podcast of the Lotus Eaters.
The simping business is getting expensive. Yeah, I bet it is. Stop it. Can I stop now? Yes. I'll pay £50 for all male tastefully naked calendar and stop.
Well, I mean, honestly, you just have to keep simping because ain't happening.
I mean, I've got to eat. So.
Not yet, anyway. When I'm buff, then it'll happen.
Jesus. President-elect Joe Biden.
That's Joe Biden.
Yeah, but I wanted to say it like American-ish. Sorry.
Chinese. No, but it's, you know, Chinese
style. Biden. thank you, America.
In America.
Thank you, America, for allowing us of the People's Republic of China to buy your companies, land, building, resources, and politicians. Proud of you, comrades.
China ain't going to eat our lunch, man. Come on, man.
Why would they eat it?
They're good folks. Even the ones who are literally chosen because they're good at fooling the foreigners. Yeah. They're good folks.
Mute stream.
Idiots.
Hugo's still best boy, though. Hashtag Team Hugo will never die. Well, you can have his naked calendar for nothing. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's in your contract, Hugo. Pioneer 108. Hey, everyone. Hope you're having a pleasant afternoon. I wanted to recommend Ryan Dawson for a guest. He's my number one source of US/M/E news.
Middle Eastern news.
Middle Eastern news. Yeah. Thank you. I've heard that name before, Ryan Dawson.
Yeah, I spoke to him a few years back.
What's he like?
He seems like a nice guy.
All right, yeah, we'll look into it. Thank you. The Red Rose Land, check out the podcast. Have we got planning news for you? It's done by the UK's top planning lawyers and seen by people with high positions.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. Why not? Caleb,
have to speed up a bit.
Harkus Collins, I'm not a great reader at the best of times. Keep the good fight, favorite boomer uncle, plus crew. Website has been great since working. Cheers from Minneapolis.
Thank you very much. And yeah, we every day we've got lots of content up. Josh was pointing out that in the past week we've had 8 pieces of premium content in addition to all of the other content that we've had. So I mean that's actually loads. I didn't realize we'd put so much up.
All right, I do want to talk about the grooming gangs because I think we're going to do that and then we'll come back to this.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry lads, but this is somewhat time sensitive. It's just come out.
Go for it.
Right. Okay, so the grooming So the grooming gang report finally got released after waiting God knows how long. Apparently it's now in the public interest, so they've given the peasants the report. I provided a Google Drive link, which I hope one of you can put in the chat, because we're not hacks. The Guardian's released pieces on this, and they just don't provide a link, because, you know, you can't...
We can put a link in the description.
Yeah, but I want people to also have it, just so we make the point. So the Guardian have instantly come out with their report, or their summation of the report, and as you can see by the headline there... Most child sexual abuse gangs made up of white men, Home Office report says.
Well, I can see why now it's in the public interest to release it.
So you
if that's the narrative that they can go with, then it's safe.
We'll get into that. So they say in the article, most child sexual abuse gangs are made up of white men, Home Office report says, and it says the following. Research has found that group-based child sexual exploitation offenders are most commonly white. Some studies suggest an overrepresentation of black and Asian offenders related to the demographics of national populations. And they then take a quote from Nazia Afzal saying that it confirms that white men remain most common offenders, which is something rarely mentioned by right-wing commentators. However, it is not shy in reflecting the South Asian and British Pakistani men are disproportionately found in high-profile cases. You'll notice they put that part right at the end of the article.
But so that's the important part.
Because that's the thing. The obvious point they're trying to make here is most of them are white, so there is no story. And
2% of the population are massively disproportionately
we'll
represented.
Get into it, because this instantly started trending on Twitter, if we can get the low-res image. Sorry, guys. So this name started trending, God knows why. So let's go to the first tweet. And the first tweet that was the top of the pile of this was from Peter Jukes, who works for the Byline Times, a far-left rag that just writes nonsense. And he says, bang goes the repulsive calamity that has powered so much Islamophobia. One question, Peter. Where does it mention Islam in the report?
That's a good question. Because it doesn't.
Let's go to the next tweet.
That's actually...
We'll get to it.
Oh, okay.
Hold it.
Shut up.
This chap, can't pronounce the name because it's difficult. He works for the Muslim Council of Britain. He's a spokesman for them. He's written a lot of nonsense and given a lot of nonsense in the past. And again, what would you call it? Promoting the...
narrative?
The singular sentence that researchers found that group-based child sexual exploitation offenders are commonly white. Okay. So what? Because there's the point, most commonly, or majority, what does that mean? 51%.
Yeah.
What percentage of Britain is white?
Well, according to the last census, it was 87%, but I imagine it's going to be about 80% now.
But it won't be 51.
No.
So the question is it under or overrepresented, obviously?
Well, I mean, Muslims in Britain are something like 4% of the population, 5% of the population.
That's not the point. Because the
Muslim men are 2.5%.
Ethnicity and religion are not the same thing. And as I mentioned earlier about the guy talking about Islamophobia, well, where does it mention Islam, my friend? Why is the Muslim Council of Britain spokesman talking about this?
Why do you all feel so personally attacked?
So let's go to image two. So if you look up Islam in the report itself, you only get one reference. There you go.
And it's not even about Islam. It's about Islamophobia, exploiting concerns about Asian groom gas to fuel Islamophobia by the Huffington Post in 2013.
So that's in the reference section talking about... Yeah. Where they get their stories.
At no point in the thing does it mention Islam or Muslims, right?
It does mention Muslims, but when you look up Muslim, you get references to the fact that it's bigotry or Muslim girls were also groomed. You do not get a reference to the percentage of Muslims who were groomers. And this is a report looking at the characteristics of groomers. And you remember a lot of the accusation, particularly why is Peter Jukes mentioning Islamophobia, is because this is disproportionate among Muslim communities.
Yep.
But of course, this has been substituted. Instead, we're using ethnicity, which is not a great turnover, but okay, fine.
It's not in any way useful.
This is not one of the questions that was asked. But, I mean, people were asking about ethnicity, so at least they went over that.
Okay.
And so I wanted to get this up. So the claims are from people like the name, that I don't think we can mention without setting off a bot, is that Are Asians disproportionately engaging in this? If they are, by how much? Because if it's by 100%, 200%, you know, if it's only 51% of offenders are white males and it's, you know, 40% Asian and then the rest of others, that would be a, you know, 1,000% of representation or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's the question. How bad is it? And then, of course, the question from people like Mr. So-and-so is that, are Muslims disproportionately represented? And if so, do they use religion to justify their claims?
Mm-hmm.
And did the police act out of fear of political correctness? Those are the three questions everyone wanted from this report to look at.
And I just want to be clear, the Alexis J report from 2014 from Rotherham, these are all things that she assessed.
And she did. And she came to the politically incorrect conclusions.
Yeah. And is it correct? I recall reading that they had a weird way of targeting where they were going to investigate this.
Well, we'll get into it.
Right.
Sorry. No.
I don't mean to
shutting you down.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So let's just get to the claim that The Guardian took. So they just took the section that mostly white men are the perpetrators, which is lazy journalism at its finest. So if we can put this on screen so people can read it. This is the section of the report talking about that, the three bullet points of what's going on there. So firstly, just complaining that the data is bad. Because of different reasons, they label all the reasons. I'm not going to go through them. Who cares? You can read it in your own time. But that if there is a cultural significance, you shouldn't ignore it, because, of course, that's a way of intervening. Mm-hmm. You know, then you know what you're looking for. So then the second bullet point is where the Guardian draws their info. A number of studies have indicated that an overrepresentation of Asian and Black offenders in group-based CSE, most of the same studies show that the majority of offenders are white. Fine. Because that's not the question. The question is it disproportionate?
Yeah.
Like, sure, there have been people, like William did their study. They only used the data that was publicly available, so it's not even a slight on them.
No.
Like, they got police data because it's the Home Office. Quilliam doesn't have that. So they got 87% or whatever it was, 82.
Yeah.
And, okay, yeah, that disproves that that is what it is, if this data is correct. Fine, but that doesn't prove the point wrong, which is this disproportionate?
Yeah.
And I was expecting a some Excel spreadsheets and some pie graphs to show the makeup.
Mm.
Of course, there's nothing like that. Yeah. What was I expecting?
But I mean, in a country with, let's just go for 80% white British, and then, 4-5% Muslim? I mean, if it wasn't that the majority of child sexual exploitation was done by white British people, I mean, that would just be mind-boggling.
Yeah,
you can't even imagine a scenario where that's the case.
So the data itself, and this is, we'll get into some of the complaints about it, but the data they do use, they list A through E, a bunch of studies. And the problem with most of these studies is they get their data set, and about 30 to 40% of the data they do have, they have to disregard because it's either not recorded properly or it's just not recorded at all. So that people didn't put ethnicity for each of the offenders.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one shows that 30% of offenders are white, while 28% were Asian. This is listed by the Home Office.
But this is not proportional to the number of white people to Asian people in the country.
Let me finish and then you'll...
Sorry.
I'm can bothered. I keep shutting you down?
No, you do feel free.
Yeah, B. So the other study they use here, where data was available, white was the largest category. C. Half of the groups consisted of all Asian offenders, 11 were all white, 4 were all black, and 2 were exclusively Arab. Looking at the offenders across all groups, of the 306 offenders, 75% were Asian. Study number 4. This study found that 42% were white or white British, 17% were black or black British, 14% were Asian or Asian British, and 4% had another ethnicity. E. From the minority ethnic backgrounds, those of a minority ethnic background who were overrepresented compared to the local area, meaning that the ethnic minorities were overrepresented, but they don't give you a breakdown of which one. All of those non-proportionate. And that's the studies the Home Office said they used to come to this conclusion.
So, yeah, I mean, so what was the first one? It was 48% or?
The first one said 30% were white, 28% were Asian.
Right, that's staggering.
Not a bombshell, is it? Is that
that's a bombshell.
That's
not
worth The Guardian reporting, apparently.
That's massive because I mean, A, the country is not 30%
white,
right? The country is 80% white, and so like the country is like 4-5% Muslim or Asian, and I mean that is staggering. That is absolutely staggeringly disproportionate. To then go, well, the majority of it was done by white people. doesn't tell the story.
But that's the thing. They're not just relying on one study. They have to rely on a bunch of them. Yeah. And they get into one of the problems they have. So I assume they just have more data that they haven't listed. Right. Because, I mean, they are the Home Office. They should be able to get access to every piece of governmental information.
Yeah.
But they write this conclusion in paragraph 81. You can read it for yourselves along if you've got it. Based on the existing evidence and our understanding of the flaws in the existing data, so already couching it in, it seems most likely that the ethnicity of the group-based CSC offenders is in line with CSA more generally and with the general population, with the majority of offenders being white.
That's not in line with the general population at all.
Majority, again, we don't know. That's not a figure. That's not a pie graph telling me how much. It's just a majority. And then you notice the rest of that sentence, like, based on the existing evidence, with the flaws in the existing data, seems most likely probably in line with CSA. It's very couched in, and we're not sure.
Layer upon layer of caveat.
Which is why I'm not actually angry at this report too much, because it seems like the Home Office is saying, we're not really sure, to be perfectly honest. We've got this academic data, and then we've got our sources, but the problem they have, and they have a legitimate problem here, is that a lot of the times police officers don't record it, or they record it incorrectly, and they're just sort of like... Oh.
Because of the political correctness pressures that Alexis J identified. Yeah. Now, was it correct or not that they ignored Telford...
We'll get to it.
Oh, sorry.
Gotta get
it. No, fine, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So the obvious point you were about to make, and we're doing it now, is that they didn't include different... pieces of information that you would include if you wanted to do this. And the first one here we reported on a while back. You can go back and check this video out from us exclusively. I don't think anyone else talked about it.
Yep.
I think maybe we got a problem and some other alternative creators, but no mainstream media.
Yeah.
The thing here was that they're not including operations that are in some of the areas you'd expect them to. So at the end, they have a list of annexes, and one of them's about all the operations they're using, some in Bristol, some in places like that. And, of course, the problem there is they're not including places like Rotherham. They're not including the operations in Rochdale.
Telford.
Yeah.
That's where you can see the all of these people are people who have been convicted of being in grooming gangs.
And we'll do that in a minute, don't worry.
But the point is...
So, I wanted to play a video from Lord Pearson's personal assistant, Peter McAvenna, just to make this point even more stark. If you can play this one, please.
Lord Pearson and Lord Singh have asked about this report, and they have asked whether religion will be taken into account, ethnicity will be taken into account. They have asked the government when it will be published, and they have asked the government who's on this expert committee, which advises the government. I just looked through the expert committee at the end. You don't have people like Jane Senior, who broke the story initially with Andrew Norfolk on the Daily, on the Times from page 2012. You don't have other champions like Maggie Oliver, who was the whistleblower, so together Jane Senior and Maggie Oliver have done more than really anyone else to expose this to the public. Peter McLaughlin wrote Easy Meat, which I don't have here, and that was the first comprehensive book looking at all the cases which had happened on grooming gangs. And here we have, is this coming up? So this is Peter McLaughlin. And it's pmclaut.com. I put it in the description so you can get it there. Statistics on grooming gangs jailed. And he goes through, as you see, all the cases, all of them, all the way back, let's go all the way down to the first case was 1997 in Leeds.
So that's just Peter making the point that the kind of people you would expect to be on this report, you know, Maggie Oliver, Jane Senior, and Peter McLaughlin, people mm-hmm. have done massive amounts of work on this. None of them are included. You remember we spoke about Maggie Oliver. She said 50% of the information she'd sent to them, they just deleted. They just weren't interested in the witness statements. Not part of this report.
Mad.
And, okay, what's the reasonable argument for that? Now, they're arguing in the report that there are certain sources which are biased, and therefore we're not going to include them, and we don't think they're credible. And they make a reference to Quilliam, and they say, Quilliam's source, we think it's... I don't have the full text, but you can go look up Quilliam in there and you'll find there.
Presumably a hotbed of right-wing radicalism.
Yeah, I guess so. But they therefore say, well, don't want to use that. And I'm guessing they would argue the same. Maggie Oliver's biased, even though she was a detective working on these cases for God knows how many years. And then an activist for all these girls' rights, not politically biased, but just biased, I guess. Jane Senior, someone who's talked about this a lot, done a lot of work on it with Andrew Norfolk. No, you're not her. And then Peter McLaughlin, I can see the argument. like he has worked with the man we shall not name mm-hmm. and produced books about Islam, therefore he's haram and cannot be included. But yep. I mean, his data list there, what's wrong about that? All of those are publicly convicted people. Like, you can get the information anywhere, and the Home Office will have that information.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they couldn't talk to
him. Why would you leave out, like, four or five cities where this thing came to light because of how bad it was and how obviously ethnically targeted it was?
Who knows? Who knows?
Why would you leave that out?
So, okay, you want to argue these people are politically biased or biased in some way, therefore we won't include... Fine, fine. Okay, then why did you include this lady? So this is Ella Cockbane, and she's produced, you know, as you can see there, they're regarding on academic evidence, and this is a bunch of different... Yep. studies she's written. And one of the things they didn't include is one of her other studies. This is why I'm semi-familiar with her. Is, okay, maybe she's trustworthy, but I personally do not trust this lady to produce unbiased results. Yep. I trust her as much as I trust Peter McLaughlin. So I don't understand why she's included. And just to give an example, I don't know if you can get the journal up, the second link. She issued she co-wrote a paper talking about why this was going on. And her central argument comes down to, well, if we aggregate child sexual abuse to be all of it, because grooming doesn't really mean anything, therefore the majority of people are white, therefore there's not an issue and everyone's overblowing this.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is just a nonsense argument.
Well, it's just categorization adjustment. Well, it doesn't change the number of girls who have been groomed, girls have been raped, whose lives have been ruined, and it doesn't change who's doing it. It doesn't change who's being convicted for it, because we've got all the names of the people who have been convicted. Not many of them are traditional British names. So, and then, not many John Smiths.
Some of the other comments in here are just weird. Like, she asserts that Andrew Norfolk is basically dishonest and lying. Jack Straw is lying. Sarah Champion is alleged to be...
a Nazi?
A far right. There we go. So she's saying that...
Labour MP for Rotherham.
Her comments were parroted as being part of the far right or something. You'd have to... get in there. Savage Javid is lying. Also,
how far does this far-right conspiracy go?
They also refer to Priti Patel as a racial gatekeeper. So it's like, look, okay.
That's literally Navarra Media's perspective on Priti Patel.
Fine. Maybe your research has some data, but you are very clearly a biased individual. And that's to be expected. All of academia is just as biased as real life. They try and minimize it, but I don't limit your sources to academic sources. Yeah. They have their problems too.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, why is she being allowed to be quoted a million times? But Peter McLaughlin, Maggie Oliver, Jane Senior, they're not in. I don't see the rationale. And of course, the point you had just made and you were going to make is image number 5. Now, this is an image which was compiled by the man we cannot name, who all he did was looked up every single case he knew about, looked up a news report, and got images of the people who were now convicted. Because you don't get images before they're convicted. These people are all convicted. And he put them all together. And that's an image of everyone he could find was convicted.
Are we allowed to comment on that?
What do all these Mohammeds have in common?
Yes.
No. That's being a bit rude. But, you know, it's a very... You can say it's a diverse group. You can see there's a Sikh guy. You can see there are white people. You can see there are...
I can see two white people at the top there.
All sorts of different kinds of people. And I understand that's a factual statement. But disproportionality is
two
also...
Two white women down there?
Yep. What's disproportionate about this image? Is this an accurate makeup of the cross-section of Britain?
I can see six.
You got six?
Seven, I think, down there. There's one down there.
Yeah, some of these people may have been on holiday a long time.
Yeah, maybe. But seven people who I would look at and judge to be ethnically white British.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this is a full data set. Of course it's not. The Home Office will have the data that wasn't covered in the news.
These are just
like
all
this.
Of the people that have been convicted.
This is just the one that any member of the public can find.
Yeah.
This is why people are suspicious. The fact that you say yourselves that your data that you've got, you don't really trust.
Eight. I found eight.
The fact that you're using biased researchers and then the public available data doesn't seem to show that. Okay, fine. But then that's why their conclusion I'm not really mad with, because they say, look, other data have found this. We're not really sure about our data, but we're guessing that the majority are white British. Okay, maybe. But that's 51% at minimum, to maximum, being 100, or 99. But that's why I hate what The Guardian produce and what the leftists on Twitter are talking about. Because, of course, they're taking this as a vindication of there's no problem.
Yeah, there's no problem. There's no problem. And it's like, okay, well, you just don't want to know.
Yeah.
You're burying your head in the sand.
I mean, these people have never wanted to know, so I'm not surprised. But there's just, I've got some quotes here just
go for it.
From the Home Office, just to make, double up the point that if you're not going to read it, don't worry. That's just... So they say, it's difficult to draw conclusions about the ethnicity of offenders as existing research is limited and the data collection is poor. That's Priti Patel's quote in the opening statement. Another part, research on offender ethnicity is limited and it tends to rely on poor quality data. Later on, they also say what research that is tends to rely on poor quality data. Later on, research to date has relied on poor quality data with a number of weaknesses. Now, okay, fine, fine. If only there was someone in a position of power who could do something about this, Home Office. Who else are you expecting to fix this? Like, you're the ones in charge of this.
What I would like to know is, I would like to know the number of convicted groomers per 100,000 per population group. Per 100,000 white British people, how many of them are convicted of group child sexual exploitation?
Yeah.
And per 100,000 of, you know, the Asian or Muslim or whatever way you want to slice the demographics, I just want to know. And I think that will be the real litmus test. But I guess that we don't have those figures, do we?
So, yeah, I mean, we're disappointed in this because, you know, you haven't given anyone a conclusive answer. So I'm not actually that...
But you have given The Guardian a narrative they can say, actually, it's white men that are the problem.
The Guardian was always going
to
spin.
Yeah, of course they were. But just giving them ammunition to do it is a problem, man.
Yeah. I mean, if they just said, well, actually, our data seems to be bad. We really wish we had better data or something, maybe. But I'm not personally that aggrieved by that. I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something else.
I think this is shocking.
But it's really interesting that, as we mentioned earlier, Islam is not mentioned because they go into the motives of the perpetrators and they go into sexual pleasure, maybe this, maybe that, domination. But they do not mention religious justifications or anything.
I mean, do they not speak to any of the victims who we have spoken to and who say, well, they give us religious reasons?
The only reference is into Muslim girls being groomed, at least I found. Yeah. And they mention that Muslim groomers will use that as a means to keep them quiet. The fact that this will bring shame on your family because you're part of our community. And that's it. It's like, right, this is... Come on, you knew there were more stones to be unturned here and you haven't unturned them.
Yeah.
Like, even if we just take it, okay, your racial data you think is
suspect
or you're not ready to say something concrete. You know, there's no pie graphs.
Yeah.
Fine. But then, you know, Savage Javid's statement on it. What was it? There will be no stone unturned. No, political correctness will not stop us. Well, why did you not investigate?
Doesn't look like it. It looks like stones have been left unturned because of political correctness.
Why is Peter Jukes mentioning Islamophobia?
Yeah.
Because the accusation from a large part of people involved in this is that there was a religious motive.
Yeah. And not only that, recently, if it was last week, there was another gang convicted for historic offences, wasn't there? I can't remember where it was now. But it was, you know, the headlines just come past. Oh, here's a new one.
Ongoing operations. This is one of the problems that the Home Office had, was we're trying to release a report on this, but we still have ongoing operations finding people constantly. This is just the state of the country.
So the Guardian have indicated, it was mostly white men, therefore no problem at all.
Muslim Council of Britain, Guardian writer, bylines, there's nothing going on, lads.
Right, okay. Dean Loveday, Barr covered up the Hunter Biden investigation until the election was over. I think he's being told to go before he's pushed myself. That's a great point. I forgot about that. That Barr is the one who sort of quashed the investigation into Hunter Biden before the election. So maybe that explains the veneration that he gives to Trump on his way out. Who knows? Wolf Fate de Leon says Q. I don't know anything about QAnon, I'm afraid. So The belligerent Welshman. Congress attempted to impeach Trump over fake ties to Russia. Biden has ties to the CCP. Can they not just throw him straight out of office? It depends. I think the Republicans would have to have control of the House, I think it is, and they only have control of the Senate, or the other way around.
They control the Senate only.
That right, yeah. So but I'm no expert on U.S. constitutional law or on procedure. So moving on. Sadwings raging. Have one of your crew research marriage ties between the media and Democratic Party, Carl. That would be quite revealing on Mockingbird Media.
Is a good point.
Is it questionable? I didn't think it needed to be done. I mean, Hillary Clinton had her own press corps that flew around on her jet while she was campaigning. So I didn't think that was something we needed to prove. They seem to all be there. I mean, the video where they're like pretending to be still and they're recording around them, and it's all the press corps doing it, and they're all playing around. It's like, do you not think this is a bit integrated?
It's good for the normies, though.
Oh, I bet it's wonderful for the normies.
No, to demonstrate that, you know.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do that. But, I mean, just identify the journos who are on Hillary Clinton's plane would be good enough. Possible pilot deviation says, I'm worried about my country. I have bad feelings. Can you move the mouse? Thanks. Bad feeling that things are going to end in a lot of bloodshed. I feel for the normies who will be shocked. Well, that's one of the reasons that we're telling you about this stuff. I mean, like, we haven't taken an editorial position very much on this, and we don't have proof of anything, really, you know.
We don't have editorial positions.
Yeah, but we've got to be careful because of YouTube's editorial position. Yeah. The Engaged Few says, if we use CH-47 Chinooks, we can do 100-plus helicopter rides at a time. American ingenuity... put to use to save America.
A disavow.
Yeah. Possible pilot deviation. Carl's right. Prosperity shards to vote and jettison the lame and indigent off the highest cliff, just like Carl says. It was really just like the Athenian said. I'm just citing a historical source. Ian Mack says, probably had sent to you already, but if you need it, the full Biden 90-minute Zoom call with the link. Yes. Yeah, if you can...
Can you copy and paste that?
Yeah, save that,
tab.
Please, John.
Put it to Discord.
Two Chain says, the way you say Maryland triggers the Americans...
They say Maryland.
Well, that's their problem, because it's an English word called Maryland. It's very clear. It's the same as Arkansas, okay? if you don't want us to pronounce it as Arkansas, don't spell it like Arkansas.
Oh, really? So it says us. Like, look at English place names in England. You want to go to Loughborough, do you?
Got an excuse? We're 1,500 years old. It wasn't the same goddamn language.
You're only 300 years. How has it deviated
this much? It's the same language, you know? Like, if you want to go back
I mean, we've got the Celtic, the Norwegian.
Then, you know, Wessex, then okay, fine, you know. We've got excuses. It's okay when we do it.
We've got history. That's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll never have history, at least not for another 500 years or so. Possible pilot deviation says, the evidence may be there, but the legal authorities' acts may also be there. But the support of half the country is not. If Trump wins, it's war. Yeah, well, that's why I said something big's coming. Follow us on alternative platforms. Subscribe to our website, because thankfully we're getting ways engaged so we can broadcast just directly to the website, so you know, if things really go wrong, and I don't know that they won't, we will still have backups and we will still be able to broadcast. God, it feels like we're in the middle of a war already, really, doesn't it? Like, I feel like we're broadcasting from a bunker.
At least it doesn't look like it.
At least it doesn't look like it yet. The R Heretic says, seriously, we need to get in contact with Ryan Dawson. All the things you... okay, thank you. We will do. Joe says, Linwood is not part of the Trump legal team. Watch Rob Barnes and People Pundit podcast. He talks about when they're not good. Right, okay, well, I'll check that out. I thought he was. I thought he was a part of the Trump legal team. Maybe it's like Sidney Powell, where he's acting on his own initiative, but just is... socially engaged with the Trump legal team. Mr. Everyman says, Executive Order 1348. I couldn't find that number. It wasn't written on the executive order when I was reading it. That's weird. Possible, and in the CNN report that I found. Possible pilot deviation says, if the US civil war goes hot, then China and others will make huge moves, not directly at the USA, but they will squeeze the rest of the globe. Yeah, they'll also fund the Democrats, without a doubt. I mean, they're already funding the Democrats, so they will definitely fund the Democrats. I'm Not Your Buddy Guy says, even as I donate now, I will follow you to wherever platform. Right now, I'm financially backing Crowder, Mug Club, Tim Pool, yourself, and Via Fry. Well, that's an excellent slate of people, I think. And
real MVP kind of person there.
Yeah, you are an absolute MVP, and thank you so much. We hope that the premium content has been good. BG Willier says, to err is human, to really foul up, to use a computer, to really, really cheat, do adjudication. Andrew Bomer says, thanks for bringing to light information ignored by the media. I hope people will pay attention, but I fear they will not. It's not that necessarily this information is ignored by the media or not reported. What it is it doesn't filter into the pundit sphere. The mainstream, or the legacy pundit sphere, who are refusing to talk about all of this stuff, but we are going to talk about it because we think it's important. Guitar operator says, absolutely love this podcast, lads. Thank you, man. Sargon was my top sub, and now it's expanded in a way that really showcased his talent. Great team. Callum and Hugo remake the channel. Oh, no love for Josh. Top boys, love from Scotland. P.S. Danky's King. Oof. It was going so well until then, and there's a slap in the face at the end.
What's Danky's King?
He likes Dankula.
Oh. That's a bad thing, though, is it?
No, obviously not. Chris Brinkley says, your boy's life story will be called, he just wanted to play video games. Yeah, I know. I mean, my son really does just want to play video games.
You know,
as well.
If you do publish a book, that's got to be the title.
No.
I don't care what you say.
I'll publish some sort of treatise on how the West has gone wrong.
Yeah, and it'll be cool. I just wanted to play video games.
I didn't want to have to. It didn't have to be like this, Anita. Just saying, you could have just shut up saying that men were bad. And Sargelius says, I only simp for Carl. I'm just, that's all she was saying.
Just like you in the, you know, you got to join the Second American Civil War. They're just in the trenches. God damn it, Anita. Sorry.
Who knows what will happen after the Civil War? That's all I'm saying. I only simp for Carl. I'm going to start with the beginning. Just want to say hi, lads. Thank you very much. Lamberta says, Carl, if you ever wanted to learn Latin, I could teach you for free. I've taught Latin for a few years. I mean, my language skills are terrible outside of English.
We got Duolingo.
But I'm not against the idea, to be honest.
Duolingo has Latin on there now. Yeah? You should try it.
But, I mean, we've got an offer from Lambertus here, who also is saying free.
Yeah, if you want a free tutor,
go for it. I guess contact at loadseaters.com if you've got a link or something you can send us.
I was just saying, because you don't have much time, so it's...
No, I don't. Maybe in a few years I'll try and learn it. Benjamin Grieco says, finished 70-hour week, so I have some kangaroo dollars before China goes all tomorrow. When the war began on the Australia. Pierce, if you need a chef on staff, I'll fly over any time. Man, I wish we needed a chef. When we're big enough to need a chef, I will definitely let you know. But thank you for the donation. And man, good job working a long week, you know. And honestly, China and Australia, it's Australia that'll be the tripwire for all of the catastrophes to come. I don't envy you, but I totally don't want us to just leave Australia and New Zealand.
No, the Commonwealth is important.
Yeah, it is important. Metavirus says, hey, Jargon, do you think you'll ever come to Australia? Biden, I'm not going to read that just in case YouTube yeets us. I would love to. I guess the coronavirus has kind of put the hold on this sort of stuff. My wife really wants to go to Australia as well. But since we've...
Start planning, at least.
Well, yeah, since we've got a newborn son and the coronavirus, it doesn't look like it's likely on the horizon. But maybe next year we'll see how things go, assuming we're not in a world war with China. Johnny Gray says, please interview Ricardo Bosi, Australia's Trump. Lieutenant Colonel SAS might surprise you.
Bosi.
Right, okay. DRT is King says, Trump may end up being more Gracchus or Sulla, since both wanted to save the Republic. We shall see if Trump is given the choice of who to follow. Yeah, that's... Well, I always felt that Trump was actually rather a kind of Gracchi kind of figure. Both of the Gracchi brothers were people who had working class concerns, effectively, and were good advocates in that regard. So I always felt that Trump was very much in that mold. But I mean, maybe he's going to take on a kind of Caesarian or Solarian role afterwards. But I mean, maybe he'll turn out to be Sulla, and that'll be good for us in the short term, bad in the long run. But Noble Biden hath told you Trump was ambitious, and Biden is an honorable man, says Unholy. Daniel Holton. Trump knew this was coming. They knew many people are compromised. He sat back, letting the commies expose themselves. Yeah, it's interesting what, like, because there is a theory this is Trump actually playing some seriously good 4D chess, and he's letting everyone compromise themselves, everyone go all in on the lie, and then springing a trap shut. And to be honest with you, with the pieces sort of moving, maybe he's trying that. I don't know.
This is what the Conservatives in the UK do. They let things get terrible and then say something.
Yeah,
but it has its downsides, obviously.
Exactly.
Things got terrible first.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Crosshaven says, one, this message comes in parts, so read this one all at once if you have time. A bit of a background, I'm from Northern Ireland and never had an affinity nor loyalty to my nationality. That's due to the strife between the Irish republicanism and British loyalism. For 8 years, I've had the ambition to establish my own nation out in international waters, something like a large ship. This, like the Principality of Sealand, only on a much grander scale. It would incorporate capitalism and Western laws to prevent it turning into chaos without direction. Absolute free speech would be greatly encouraged. The vetting system would be implemented in order to the nation not to descend into a cult, or to prevent people with nefarious illegal intentions from affecting the goodwill of the nation. It would be a haven for anyone who needs a purpose and somewhere they feel at home. Am I delusional, morally wrong for wanting this? Your thoughts would be greatly appreciated, Sargon. I've also signed up to Lotus Seeds website. Many thanks for reading. Love the show. Well, thanks for all the messages, and thanks for signing up.
Wanting to do it? I don't think so.
I don't think there's anything morally wrong with any of this. And yeah, thank you for all of the donations. That was like 50 quid you sent us, man. So thank you. I don't think there's
anything... You sound very ambitious.
Yeah, I mean, it's a highly ambitious plan. I don't know about necessarily the legality of it, although places like Sealand micronations do exist.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't rule it out. And
My understanding is it's not recognized by the British government, Zealand, but we just sort of let it exist.
But who cares?
Why mess with it?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
I suppose as long as you don't start threatening economic interests of the UK, they'll leave
set
it be.
Set yourself as an offshore China, like bank repository or something. Yeah. I don't know, you know. But like... But yeah, but so I don't think there's anything morally wrong with what you've suggested there. I don't think there's anything principally wrong with your philosophical beliefs and the way that you'd structure it. Frankly, I would just suggest that the major problem would be the practical problems. But I don't think that anyone can begrudge you wanting a kind of American Revolution Part 2 off the coast of Northern Ireland.
We'd come visit.
I mean, it sounds awesome. Get internet access and maybe I'd think about it, you know. Jaffo on the Bound says, of course they're not going to eat her lunch. They have control of the pantry. Doomhand, here's some Freedom Bucks, Callum Shirt Fund, you cheapskates. Thank you very much. Callum does need a shirt fund.
50 quid for two
Carl,
shirts.
I had a dream last night that I had visited the UK and I thought I was simping and kept avoiding... You thought I was simping and kept avoiding me. Woke up very stressed. Oh, I'm sorry,
sounds
Mark.
Accurate,
I'm
though.
Really sorry. It's just like my wife. My wife always does this. She's like, I woke up and I had a dream where you'd annoyed me, so now I'm angry at you. I'm like, right, okay, I'm sorry. Don't know what to tell you.
Do you want breakfast?
I got to go to work, I suppose. I'll try not to annoy you in your dreams tomorrow or tonight. Robert Connor, so disappointed. Thought that something big was Akilah Hughes joining Lotus Eaters as an indentured servant to work off the money she has. Carl. No. That's all been received.
That's been paid.
Yeah, the reparations have been paid. Fencing Mitch says, mostly white men. Shake my head. Another damning report of the lack of diversity at the BBC.
You get what he's getting at there, right?
Yeah, but it's interesting how now that they can frame it that, oh, it's actually mostly white people, now it's in the public interest to release. It's like, why is that? Like, why? What was the problem before?
Yeah, the leftists are trying to spin this as, well, now that we know it's mostly white men, that's the reason they said it wasn't in the public interest?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, that's moronic. The government's happy to report that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the in the media, constantly, day after day after day, white people are the problem. Thug Life Bear, hate to be that guy. Vicious calumny equals vicious lie.
He's Latin there, I assume.
No. Well, yeah, but maybe you misread something earlier or something. Why, Justin? Let UK be Christian and stay Christian. Well, the problem is most people in the UK aren't really Christian, at least not in any sort of practicing way. Although they do write themselves down as Christian on the census. And to be honest with you, right, I know this is going to sound silly, but I think I might do the same. Like, I'm an atheist, but at the end of the day, I don't want to write atheist on the census because it's like, well, that's not really what I'm talking about. You know, it's more a sort of statement of cultural intent. And I haven't been baptized, but I have baptized my children because, again, I'm not a Christian, but it's traditional. It's what we do here.
Would you call your kid a Christian if you baptized him?
Well, he's baptized as a Protestant.
Because that's the weird thing.
I'm not going to force religion onto him, but like, that's what we do in this country.
What is he, ethnically Christian then?
Well, he's just culturally Christian, I guess.
Well, ethnicity is...
part and parcel of it. But like, to be specific, culturally Christian. But morally, principally, you know, in the values. Because we do have Christian values. Whether all of the atheists of the West are espousing Christian ideals, whether they know it or not. And a lot of them, like Christopher Hitchens spent so much time denying this. No. It's like... The reason you care about your enlightenment values, yeah, he was. But the communists are espousing the same goddamn things. Like you don't have like great communist movements coming out of Islamic countries because of the values of Islam. They don't align with communism. Like the enlightenment values are built on Christian values, 1,000 years of Christian values. But anyway, I won't go into it now. Azathoth Pogging says, quick question on the name of the site. I don't understand how Lotus Eaters is seen as beneficial. Even without drugs, the island was still an escape from reality. Those inside were offered a life of complacency. Well, that's definitely Odysseus's account. But then Odysseus got everyone killed. And literally only Odysseus got back to Ithaca. If you'd like to go back to Ithaca, you be my guest. Or you can... hopefully live happily with us on the island of the Lotus Eaters, and hopefully nothing terrible will happen to you. Guarantee it, but I can definitely guarantee what happens to you back at Ithaca or on the way back to Ithaca. So, but it basically stands for a paradigm shift. I'll do a video now the website's up. I will do a video explaining it because it's cute. But anyway, Again, don't listen to Odysseus's fake news, his smear merchantry. I mean, we don't, honestly, come on, you're not taking his word for it. Not a banned account, BBC. Britain was originally a black Muslim colony. Probably inevitable that will become the narrative. Strike Team 23. If nothing big happens, we need to be concerned. Why would Trump restructure the military chain of command? Oh, yeah, that was another thing. Trump literally purged a bunch of generals and like reshifted all of the military high ups. I should have included it, actually. I forgot all about it. Like, there have been really big moves. Like, you know, locking,
you think he's going for the military option?
Well, locking the CIA out, changing out a bunch of generals, and doing all of the other things that we listed. Like, come on, this is, you know, these are huge maneuvers, man. And then all of these hacks and stuff that have been going on. It's like, okay, like, you know, I'm sweating, you know, I'm not gonna lie. In conjunction with an executive order that would potentially allow him to essentially capture Silicon Valley. I mean, okay.
Like, we were joking about this before, that he should nationalize them and then just be like, well,
you asked for it.
You guys were asking for socialism. So.
Yeah, socialism for socialists. I agree. They're not allowed to own property because they don't want to. But yeah, like, as I said, you know, why would he restructure the military chain of command and broaden capital punishment methods only to hand enhanced apparatus to a Biden admin? And I think if there's one thing we can be sure of at this point is that Trump is not on the same team as Biden. Like, because there's always, oh, well, George Bush and Obama are essentially on the same team because you can see the continuous ethos that's carried out in foreign policy and all these other things. Trump is a definitive break from all of that.
That's a good thing. Like, yeah, you can change the candidates and nothing changes.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Like, yeah, I'm going to be proud about that?
Yeah, exactly. That's terrible. You know? Azeroth says, complacency and comfort at the cost of isolationism should never be an end goal. And I don't know, I know you don't believe that either, so I'm excited to hear you explain this to my smooth brain. No, you're not wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that this is necessarily a mission statement or something. But I did feel that we needed somewhere that we could relax and not be at tremendous pressure from the mainstream and feel like that we're constantly under a sort of Damocles, and that's what we're trying to build here, somewhere we can feel at our ease, so we can consider these things with a rational and unhurried gait, hopefully.
Save it for your video.
I will. Statistics on grooming gangs, jailed 84% Muslim, see Peter McLaughlin's website. There we go.
It's just not part of the report.
Yep. Why would we need that? Again, it's a very similar number to the Quilliam study, but they don't care about that either. Mute stream, H in the chat, boys. Let's show Hugo some love. Dean Loveday, child sexual group child exploitation could be low-level offenders sharing CP. They conflated that with gang R-word, which is 89% religion apiece. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
they did make one good point, which was that the grooming gang, mm-hmm. bad term, because a gang is something specific in yep. law and all the rest of it. Like, they own territory, they interact with other gangs. Mm-hmm. What the correct word we should be using, I think we should do this ourselves, is grooming network.
Ooh.
Because that describes it far more correctly.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know that they were passing victims between networks, between gangs. Like, you know, they drive them to different cities.
There's conflict and all sorts of other things. Yeah. There are a lot of connotations.
Network is a much better term, you're right. Zeranek says, does it concern anyone that some or more of the grooming may be done by those better able to hide their efforts? I want more people on that hook. Hypothesis says, breaking news, Karen's involved with grooming gangs.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know if we call them Karens, necessarily. The kind of women who seem to be involved with these grooming gangs seem to be...
the offenders, we're saying, as well.
Yeah, very much like the young ladies who were involved in Epstein, like with Ghislaine Maxwell. They don't have to necessarily be Karens, but they are people, women, who are interested in that. If the last thing the God Emperor does in his first term is drain the wanton swamp, he deserves to be on Mount Rushmore. Yeah, I mean, Trump's presidency at this point is just looking glowing and golden to me, especially in the light of what Biden's going to bring in. Convincing reality, does this report count each individual or instance of abuse? Given that some groups were assaulting multiple people in the span of many years, I didn't read it.
They don't give you specifics like that. They say they're looking over the academic data, the legal data they have, the police data, so there's nothing, you know, specific. One just assumes they looked at everything, but I can't say that with certainty because they just don't tell me.
Wolflake de Leon says QAlerts.app. Maybe you should look at it. I honestly don't have the time to follow QAnon as well as everything else. Marcus Byrne says Happy Tea Party Day. Banned. Karma and Kerosene. Hello again. Okay, English. How do you pronounce Worcestershire? There we go. Also, your checkmate, Americans. Also, shameless plug for our conservative band, Karma and Kerosene. Come check us out. Yes, go check them out. Aradni Sol says, gentlemen, what's your take on China engaging in massive joint training in Canada? P.S. Sargon, do you plan on having more of the politics of series? I absolutely adore those. I do, but at the moment, because we're building stuff up and, you know, I have to be involved in absolutely everything to make sure that we're producing enough content on a regular basis. I actually don't have time to do those at the moment, but I do have more of those planned. Also looking into sort of like the philosophical meaning of things as well, which I'm really looking forward to. I keep name dropping the Moana one, but that's going to be brilliant. You're going to love it. I'm really excited about it. But what we actually, this is why, and this is another good reason why you should back us on LotusEaters.com, so we can expand the team, because I think by the end of today, we'll have 2,000 subscribers, which means that we have, as we are, a sustainable business, which is wonderful, but we really need to be able to hire some more people. Poor Vicky is just sat as the website manager and social media manager and all of these other things. You have to do all this video production after the podcast and stuff like this. And so, like, I realize there's a lot of weight, like, and John is just constantly on the go.
Yeah, it's like, come in, write research, yeah, do scripts, things.
Yeah, and then, and I'm just researching all day, every
John's
day.
John's always editing, yeah, stuff. He's always looking at stuff.
Exactly. And like, we haven't got an editor for the site, so Hugo and Josh are editing each other's articles, which is wonderful. I didn't have to set this up. These guys, the great thing about it is everyone is quite autonomous-minded that we've hired, so I didn't have to really organize any of this, because I've got way too much stuff to do anyway. But this is why you should back us, because we're doing a good job so far, but we could be doing a way better job if you guys join us. Robert Dunn says, these guys, by the way, on the joint training in Canada, I guess that we will eventually find that Trudeau takes money from Canada, from China too. I mean, it's wild. It's mad. I heard about this the other day. I know we should be hurrying up, but sorry, we got loads of messages.
Literally, I'm pretty sure they paid the Canadians for this service.
Yes. And the Canadians are literally teaching them how to operate in Canadian territory. Why? Why would you do that? It's mad. But anyway, Robert says, those guys on the big convicted pedos montage, know what they have in common? They love 29-year-olds. Why? Because there's 20 of them. Jesus Christ. All right, disavow. Eric Edwards, would you get someone like Arch on? I certainly would. President Lex Flatnick, thank you. Thug Life Bear, where to put draft for people to write to their senators? Yeah, but you should be writing to your representatives at this point.
I think the GOP is doing that. Yeah. I mean, we're not. But
seriously, you know, as a citizen, and I don't just mean in the United States, I mean in Britain, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, in any other country, you have representatives. You should write to them and say, look, even if it's just, look, I just want you to pay attention to this and be aware of this, because like the Hong Kong protesters say, you know, if be aware of the CCP or be next. So. Anyway, Yuki Tayo says, I want a merch hoodie written on it, with it written on the front, you get what you deserve, and on the back, you get what you absolutely deserve. We'll see what we can do. We are working on merch. Adam Morgan says, disproportionate only matters when it's about cops. Apparently so. Apparently that's the case. DRT is king. He came upon the rule of powers and just kept winning. If Trump goes full Sulla, we will share his heads. Full Sulla, will he share his headstone, no friend or enemy unrewarded? Yeah, Sulla's gravestone was great. It's just the most boss thing in the world. No friend has served me, nor enemy wronged me that I haven't repaid in full. And it's like, oof, you know, that's gotcha. And then he dies of, you know, in a hedonistic, opulent lifestyle where he just drinks himself to death partying. It's like, okay, you win. You won everything. Gotcha. You know, and if Trump ends up winning everything in exactly the same way, okay.
Kind of hate the Sulla guy.
Oh, he's great. proper patriarchal Roman patriarch. Dan's Corner says, coming from a serious practicing Christian, I can't decide whether you're the most atheist Christian or the Christian atheist I've ever seen. Well, I mean, I don't really believe in God as Christians conceive it. I don't think there's any real historical legitimacy to the Bible, but the question is really about the moral practices and teachings that come out of it, and what do we learn, and how did they influence our societies? And you can't deny that this is the case. So anyway, guitar operator, sorry Josh, I forgot about you. Terrible patter, you're all great. Please keep up the good work. Thank you very much. LJ says, supporting King Trump from Texas, it's not over till he concedes. Yeah, and it doesn't look like he's conceding anytime soon, does it? Edward of Woodstock, a man may look on glass and on it may stay his eye. Carl simping for us Christians makes me wonder when he'll stray down the road to Damascus. I don't think it's going to happen. I just have no religious bone in my body. But I am interested in a good ethical life.
Like, you care about the moral stuff, not the zombie, yes. Jesus.
Yes. Philip says, Happy Christmas, guys. Thank you. It's Merry Christmas. Goddamn American. No, that's British. That's even worse. You know it's Merry Christmas. I love the Lotus East website and the interview with Andy Ngo. Thank you. We're going to see if we can get more interviews in the future. Nightmarish Vision says, for everyone with an issue with the Lotus East name, at least Sargon didn't pick the Turkish version of the Hitler Youth like Cenk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I could have done way worse.
Could have gone with the black shirts or whatever. Oh, Jesus, what Oswald Mosley's was, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have gone with that, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's... I think it's okay. Nathaniel says, greetings from Oklahoma, USA. Spelt out, Oak-la-home-a. Oklahoma. Yeah, exactly as I said.
Actually, that is phonetic, isn't it?
Yeah. Mute Stream, still no merch store with Hugo Body Pillow. Why? We're working on a merch store, we promise. Alex Holt, what about adding an extra fifth or quarter to the podcast only for the members of the website? This is what we want to do, like the Zoom call or the private thing is, but what we're doing is we are getting it so we can post things to particular membership tiers, and so what we'll do is kind of like so we can stream to the website as well. So we'll have like a members only Q&A for certain tiers and stuff like this. We're getting it all sorted out. I promise you it's going to come. When are the Lotus Eaters body pillows coming out? As soon as we can. But right, I think that's it, isn't it? So thank you everyone for joining us. And we will be back tomorrow with another update on the inevitable civil war and collapse of the West. So, you know. Go join us at lotuseats.com.
I'm really loving this island.
Yeah, exactly. Suddenly the island is... it's an island where you're not really engaged with reality. Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? You know, let's see if we can try and make one, shall we? Because reality's getting a bit weird at the moment and not enjoying it as much as I was. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thank you for joining us.